Investigative Journal broadcast. My name is Daryl Eberhardt, and I'm filling in for Greg Szymanski on very short notice. So, and we're expecting, I believe, Tony Alamo to call in, and so I hope you'll hang with us. Try to give you an informative broadcast, interesting broadcast. I don't know a lot about Tony, but I was up on his website and saw that he has a ton of great material up there about a subject that's dear to my heart. And that is witnessing to Roman Catholics, talking about Papal Rome. And if you've been following Greg's broadcast recently in the last couple of weeks, you'll know that I was on, and Greg let me fill in for him and cover a subject that I think is very important, and it's an article that's up on my website right now. And it's called An Urgent Appeal to Roman Catholics. Urgent Appeal to Roman Catholics. And the subtitle is, and I don't have it right in front of me right now, but it's, I believe the subtitle is 22 Reasons Why Roman Catholics Should Leave the Roman Catholic System. And if you're a dear Roman Catholic, I hope you'll go up there and take a look at it and check out some of the resources that I have. And you're going to find out there's a lot about your church that most Roman Catholics don't know about. And it took me a few years of researching to find out that a good bit of Roman Catholic doctrine is straight out of the old pagan Babylonian religion, the mystery religion, way back in Babylon, where they had goddess worship with a lady that was the queen. I shouldn't call her a lady. A woman who was evidently a very attractive woman. She was the queen Semiramis. Some people say Semiramis, but Semiramis was this beautiful queen. Her husband died, and her son came along and was born. And of course, they made him into a little god, but she became a goddess. And within that religion, and they set up a celibate priesthood. Very interesting, with auricular confession. Now, auricular just means into the ear. So, auricular confession, they had that there. Okay. And, Mr. Tony Alamo, my name's Daryl Eberhardt, and I'm filling in for Greg Szymanski on a very, very short notice. And how are you today?
I'm very fine, thank you, Daryl. Nice meeting you.
And, by the way, why don't you give them your website, because I was up there about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't have internet, but I was over at my friend's house, and I had heard that Greg had interviewed you a number of times, and since you and I both write about the same topic at times anyway, Papal Rome and some of the problems with Roman Catholic doctrine, why don't you go ahead and give the listeners your website.
Okay. AlamoMinistries.com. That's the website.
Okay, and that's spelled A-L-A-M-O, right?
Right, just like Remember the Alamo.
Right. And I did listen to one of the broadcast interviews that Greg did of you, and again, you and I are both kind of concerned about this very important topic, and I don't know, did you hear any of the lead-on I just gave to the listeners before you came on?
No, I heard just the last, maybe a minute of it. It was about 7:12 when I got my call here.
Okay. Well, I was telling them that my reason for the last couple of years of getting very concerned about Roman Catholicism was that as I began to do more and more study, and I'll tell you some of the books that I read that I didn't tell them, and one of the first books I read was The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, kind of a scholarly work, a little dry, but he really lays out with a lot of diagrams and picture showing the very, very close parallels or connections between the goddess worship in Papal Rome today and what was going on with that beautiful queen named Semiramis. And as I said, some people say Semiramis, but Semiramis became a goddess within the Babylonian religion. And then I started noticing that, wow, auricular confession was there, you know, to an authorized priest, a celibate priesthood. So a lot of these things, doctrines and practices that we see in Roman Catholicism today, very clearly came out of Babylon, the old Babylon mystery religion. And did you read any of those books, or like Ralph Woodrow's book? He wrote a good book, I think it's called like Mystery Babylon Religion. And there's also a good book that came out, I'd say within the last 3 years, and that was by David W. Daniels, wrote a book called Babylon Religion. The subtitle is How a Babylonian Goddess Became the Virgin Mary, and Jack Chick illustrated that book. It's one of the two books that they collaborated on. So did you have the experience of reading or looking at any of those books?
Well, usually I have those in my library, but I've glanced through them. Most of my knowledge of the Catholicism and comes from the Bible. I know Jack Chick very well. We've collaborated. He thought that I had, when he read a piece of literature that I wrote called The Pope's Secrets, he and Alberto Rivera called me up and wanted me to come out to Chino, California, where is Jack Chick's place of business. He has a book publishing company out there, and he sells a lot of things. And a lot of the things that he had to sell were written by Alberto. And they thought, both of them thought, that I was in the Vatican at one time or another. I've never really even gone to Catholic churches, but I got the information mainly from the Bible. It's written in there so plain that, you know, anybody, if they really are sincere and they really have the fear of God and they really want to know the truth, they read it. They can find that this definitely is the cult. And today, it isn't just Roman Catholicism that people, they're all looking at that one cult in Rome, and what they don't realize is that cult has bored its way into every facet of human life and every facet of all the false religions. If I have pictures of the Pope John Paul II visiting Satan worshiping cults and the Hare Krishna cult and many of all the cults, he wanted everybody to be a one world religion. His con job on the whole situation was that if we all merge all the religions in the world together in the churches, that there would be no problems on earth anymore. But the problems keep getting worse and worse. And we Christians are commanded by the Lord to not have any other religion. Religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. We're salvationists. We say the same thing Jesus said. You must, not that you should, but you must be born again of the Spirit. And no man comes unto the Father, he goes into heaven, but through me. I am the way to heaven. I am the truth, the only truth, and I am the only one that has eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life to give to you. Anyone attempting to get into the kingdom of heaven through any other religion or any type of doctrine other than mine is accursed. And there's no way they can get into the kingdom. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. I am the way. And a lot of people, these Catholics, worship Mary. And you were just mentioning that was in that was given this new religion that they had. Now Mary, a lot of people worship her, and they said because she's never had sexual relationships with anyone. She didn't until after Jesus was born. But she's a real woman, and she had, honest to God, sex with Joseph after Christ was born. therefore, a lot of people, when you tell them that, especially Latinos and Latinas, that they get really uptight. But she had many other sons. She had a lot of sons. It's written in the Bible. And so these people do not want to worship as God dictates. What they want to do is just make up in their mind a fairy tale, something that isn't true, and that's not going to help them at the judgment bar of God when they get there. God said that if we stand before Him without Christ in us, with the Father by the Spirit, there's no possible way that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we cannot keep the commandments of the Lord if we don't have the power of God in us. And the Bible says that Christ is the power and the wisdom and the power of God. There is no, without Christ, there is no wisdom. Why is He the wisdom of God? It's because of the fact that the only way to get into heaven is through Him. So that is considered by God to be wise. And it's everybody's wisdom if they believe that, but it's everybody's downfall and damnation if they don't. And the power of God enters into you when you're born again of the Spirit, and you're able to keep all the commandments. And so we know through the Bible that this is a horrible heresy. There's no way you can get into heaven by worshiping this religion instead of becoming born again of the Spirit. And even and when you really become born again of the Spirit, you're going to get out of that cult, because there's so many false doctrines in there. You've read about it, and you know, and I know it from the Bible. The Bible says that this cult, Satan's seat, is where the city of the seven hills are. And the city of the seven hills or the seven mountains is Rome. You go to a travel agency and tell them you'd like to have a ticket to the city of the seven mountains or the seven hills, and they're going to give you a ticket to Rome. So this is Satan's seat right there. That isn't the holy see. It's the unholy, damnable cult that now controls most of your supposed to be churches in the world. They all go to her because they want to suffer persecution from her. Because the persecution that Christians are getting today is coming from the Catholic cult. But it'll come through all the people that have joined up with her, like the United Presbyterians, the United Methodists, the United Baptists. Who are they united with? They're united with the Vatican, the Antichrist. Now, a lot of people think there's one man, one Antichrist coming into the world. The Antichrist is a huge combine of one man. Like Christ is the only one that's going to get into heaven is Christ, because we all have to become part of His body in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. If you're not in the body of Christ, well, then you're in the body of Satan. Satan has his followers in his one body. And this happened when the people, the two innocent people in the Garden of Eden, sinned. Then the all of humanity fell under the rule of Adam. We all have the Adamic sin, and the only way that it can be erased is through the blood of Jesus. So by faith, we apply the blood of Jesus unto our souls, and we become born again, and then we can understand the Bible. Then we're able to defend the gospel. The Lord saved us to bring about the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. He said, "Thy kingdom," when He was teaching people how to pray, He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven." Jesus said the kingdom of heaven does not come with observation. It's because it's invisible. The Spirit of God enters the kingdom of heaven, enters into our bodies, and we become a part of this spiritual unseen nation. We become part of the kingdom of heaven that is here on earth, and we are to rule over Satan, because Satan doesn't have any ruling power. Everything that he touches turns to ashes. He's and so we've got the one world church now, which encompasses the Vatican and all the churches it controls, which are not churches, they're one big cult, one big body of Satan. Then we have the one world government that gets the will of Satan or the cult, where he sits in Rome. The government is doing the will of this one world cult. They say, if you don't join us, well, then that means that you're a troublemaker and that you want to cause trouble with all of us that have become part of this new world order, the Antichrist, this one body of Satan. And therefore, you need to be destroyed. And so the government went on what they called a turkey shoot in Waco and murdered all those people. They've been murdering people in China. They've been murdering people in Africa and India and here in the United States for years, and they're continuing it. But we are supposed to rule. We are commanded to rule the world because God restored us now through Christ to take power and dominion over these demonic people and to teach them the truth, not to murder them or kill them like they do, but we're to preach the word of God to them. And this is, we're wise as serpents but harmless as doves. We preach the truth and show them where their doctrine is false and where the Bible is true, and that the rulership of this world is satanic, and that the rulership of God, that he has commanded us to keep his commandments so that we can continue having the power of God within us. That way we're able to continue on until he comes. The Bible says those that stop or they don't continue until the Lord comes, there's no way that they're going to be saved. He said, all those who continue till I come shall be saved. So people are saved. Now this ungodly doctrine says, once saved, always saved, but you can't do anything to fall away from the Lord. That is a very big part of the satanic one world government doctrine. This is Satan's doctrine that says that you can be born again and then sin some more, that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven before over 500 people, that they're trying to make it look as though Jesus died so that you can sin. No, he died to take away sin. And these people are saying there's no more law anymore. No, to those of us that get saved, the penalty of the law has been washed away. But the law still is there. If we fall away from the Lord, the Bible says there remains no more repentance for us, and we're surely going to spend eternity in hell. So this is where the doctrine of the Bible is so pure and true. I've read Avril Manhattan. As a matter of fact, he sent me a wire after he had read my Pope Secrets, and he said, bravo! He lived in England. He sent a very nice telegram to me on that. And Jack Chick said it was wonderful, and so did Alberto. As a matter of fact, Alberto wanted me to go with him to Rome in a helicopter to fly over the Vatican and dump a bunch of my pieces of literature called the Pope's Secrets over the Vatican. I said, Alberto, what's wrong with you? You know that anything that would fly over the Vatican bigger than a pigeon would be shot down. Those people are armed and dangerous. There's Swiss guards around there with Uzis, the Israeli Uzi machine guns. I went in there to, I knew it wouldn't do any good. I was just showing one of the people in my ministry that if I tried to get in to talk to the Pope, they would point those guns, and we went in to, they'd point the guns at us, and if we continued going in, they'd shoot us. So when I was in Rome, I drove in with this little sports car that we rented in Messina, Italy, and we came back to Rome in it on the boat. We went in there, and they put their machine guns up and said, you can't go in there. And so this man that was with me is a Frenchman, and he just pretended like he ignored. I says, turn this car around. These people mean business. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so that's where I get my doctrine from, is from the Bible, and the doctrine of the Bible is true. And I know that these people have some knowledge of the Bible, and they have a very good perception of the Catholic cult, and they've written books. Edmund Paris and all these people. I've been in the ministry for over 44 years now, and I've studied some of that stuff. It's just a lot of it is confirming what the Bible says. But now we have to focus that the Vatican has been like a termite. That's what Abram Manhattan said. They're like termites, and they have bored themselves into every phase of American life and life in every part of this world. They are controlling force. And the Bible tells that too. But God says he's going to burn that place up, and people that are experiencing merchandising, good merchandising by them, are going to be extremely sorrowful when they see that regime ended, just as much as the people. I beg your pardon?
Yeah, and we were just getting that little beep letting us know that the break's coming up soon. You've made so many points, and I'm going to get back with you on a lot of them. You mentioned about the whore being burned up, and, of course, there is a Bible verse that talks about that, and God actually says in Revelation 17:16 that he's going to put it into their mind that this great whore is going to be burned up. And we'll be back right after the break with the Investigative Journal, and we've got Tony Alamo on with us, and my name's Daryl Everhart. I'm filling in for Greg Sismansky today. So hang with us, please.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under the heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Some of them are living an illusion, bounded by the darkness of their minds. In their eyes it's nation against nation, with racial pride. It's sad, I say hi. Thinking only of themselves.
And this is the investigative journal broadcast. And again, my name's Daryl Eberhardt. I'm filling in for Greg Szymanski today on very short notice, so I'm lucky I have an interesting guest, a very informed guest named Tony Olama. And do you mind if I call you Tony?
Not at all. Yeah.
And can I keep you on both hours?
Oh, sure. I'd be privileged to.
Okay. Let me tell you, brought up so many points, and I just want to let the listeners know. First, I want to give them my credentials that I am not anti-individual Roman Catholic. I live in a what I would call a sea of Roman Catholicism. Any direction you go, about 5 to 6 miles from my home, it's 70 to 90% Roman Catholic. And no one can accuse me of hating Catholics because my dad has been in the Catholic Church for 85 years. 90% of my relatives are Roman Catholic. 90% of my friends are Roman Catholic. And as a matter of fact, decades ago, I married a beautiful and wonderful Roman Catholic lady. Now, she came out of that religion, that religious system, and I went to catechism courses. I was brought up Methodist, and however, I left that church many years ago because they became so liberal. But what I wanted to let them know is that what they do frequently, Tony, is to end any debate about the false doctrines of Papal Rome or about their bloody history of mass murder and torture is to pull out a stick called labeling you a bigot, a hater, a Catholic hater, a Catholic basher, and they will immediately slap you with that to try to end all discussion. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:11 that, well, let me give them that verse. And the Apostle Paul, of course, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And that doesn't sound like a suggestion to me, Tony. It sounds like God wants us to do that. And you mentioned about the Bible. And I started about 15 years ago. I'm 61, by the way. And about 15 years ago, I started reading the Bible from cover to cover before I dabbled in it. You know, just read a few verses out of the Psalms or a little. The Methodist Church had a little guide there. They would recommend a guide that you would get, and it would just give you bits and pieces to read. And I recommend to everyone when I come on the air, whether as a guest or guest hosting a show, is that they read the entire King James Bible through, the old King James, not the new King James, through from Genesis in the Old Testament to Revelation, and they can get all kinds of Bible guides that'll walk you through the entire Bible each year. And the key thing is to do, is just to read that, because you had mentioned that's where you noticed all of the bad doctrine in Rome, and the same thing happened with me. I was talking about some of the other books I'd read, but of course, as I was reading through the Bible there, I would make little notations beside a certain verse, and I'd put RCC beside it, because there were so many verses there that the practices that they had condemned, that the people in the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern king of Judah, had gotten caught up with, that it just spoke to my heart that, hey, this applies to Rome. And of course, as you well know, and this is something I brought up to the priest that when I was taking those catechism courses, and at that time I hadn't been reading through the Bible, the entire Bible, every year, but I had read enough, Tony, that I knew that, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ said, don't do repetitious prayers like the heathen do. So I didn't last long in the catechism course because I made the priest look bad, but I asked the priest, I said, excuse me, didn't Jesus Christ, the Son of God, say that we're not supposed to do repetitious prayer? So why do you Roman Catholics pray the rosary where, and of course in the rosary they say six Our Fathers, six Glory Bees, and 53, they repeat 53 Hail Marys. I said, isn't that going directly against what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said? And he goes, is that in the Bible? And I goes, yes. And then later on, we were talking a couple sessions later, and I said, why are you guys celibate priests? Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, healed Peter's mother-in-law, and the Apostle Paul said that Peter, Simon, took his wife with him when he went out on trips, missionary trips. And the Apostle Paul in the Bible, in I believe it's 1 Timothy, lays out the credentials or qualifications for a bishop or elder and a deacon, and what are it? The husband of one wife. And I said, so why are you guys celibate priests when clearly the Bible does not or recommend a mandatory celibacy? And he goes, is that in the Bible? And of course I hit him with a number of those things, and of course it made him look bad, so he ended up coming up, put his arm around me at the about the fifth or sixth session and says, you don't have to come back anymore, my son. But Tony, I'm sure that you noticed the same things that I did there reading through the Bible, that wow, these things, there's so many doctrines and practices in Roman Catholicism that are just 100% contradictory to what the Holy Bible says.
Amen. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, verses 1 through 3, states that in the last days this cult, the satanic power, would be forbidding people to marry, to become married as the Lord has commanded people to do. And the reason that they said one wife was because they were living in Rome and in Greece, where they didn't believe in polygamy at all, but they did believe in adultery. Now, you got to keep your wife. It's okay to go out and have sexual relationships with other women, but not to marry them. And it's, the Bible tells you, that young women should be married. Now, if you read the book of Jasher, you see that Rebecca was married when she was 10 years old to a man four times her age. And they're condemning everything that the Vatican and this world system is condemning is the Bible. That's anything that the Bible says is taboo. It's false. So that's why the Bible says that in the last days they'll make that, the Word of God, which is good, they'll make it evil. And the thing, and they'll make evil good. So they're forbidding marriage and forbidding marriage for young women to be married, as the Lord said, and as the Apostle Paul said. And the Bible calls that doctrines of devils. These are demonic people, and they're possessed with the devil, and they need to be set free. Now, former President John Kennedy was, I heard the speech he was making there, and he says that God has set us free and independent. Well, he sets us free from Satan, but not from the law, and he does not make us independent. He wants us to be joined in with the body of Christ. We're not independent. We're either a slave of the Lord or we're slaves of Satan. Satan has us slaves, and the only way that, because we know we can't keep the law unless we have the power of God living in us. And if we have the power of God living in us, we are more than able to keep the commandments of the Lord. Yeah, there's no desire to do that until the fear of the Lord comes upon us. God said, told Moses that no one will serve him unless they fear him. And so they changed the word of fear to reverence. Well, sure, we have to reverence the Lord, but we have to fear that His Word is the only thing that we must concentrate on. And people are so concentrated, there's so many different things in the world today that people have got their minds focused on, from sports to Satanism, every kind of pornographies and sexual promiscuity and things like this. And people are thinking that they can be married and sample one woman, and then if they don't like her after a week or two or a month or a year, then throw her out on the streets. But this is not so. This is not acceptable by the Lord. He doesn't allow sampling weddings, and in the Bible they don't allow dating. people get married because a man and a woman should appropriate children. They should have children. And they're condemning people, this Antichrist government, Antichrist church, and the Antichrist world media condemns women to be married when they reach puberty. They're condemning people for being married at all. As a matter of fact, you get a tax break. At one time, I was married to the Princess of Sweden. Her name is Birgitta Gyllenhammar, G-Y-L-L-E-N-H-A-M-M-A-R. They own the Volvo Automobile and Truck Company in Sweden. It's the third largest industry in Europe. And her sister came down, and her sister's husband, they're both doctors in Sweden, and they're not married. And they said, nobody's married in Sweden because we get a great tax break if we don't get married. So the government is wanting people to commit fornication. Now, I agree that if you're having sexual relationships with a woman, you're married to her. Because in the Bible, it never talks going to Caesar. It talks about going to Caesar or Pontius Pilate to get a marriage license to be married to a woman. This seems so evil today because we've been brain damaged so much by the doctrines of the one world cult, the one world government, and the one world media. I mean, this is like a huge mesmerizing force of people that are on earth today that are causing people to commit sin. They make it good or look evil, and they make evil extremely good. Like, for instance, taking of babies' lives, aborting them. That's, they make the word first-degree murder into the word abortion. They make all these different changes. This is not a new world order. It's the old devil himself that's been here on earth ever since the beginning of time, since he conned Eve into believing that God was false and that he was true. And he's convinced everybody. He's saying, thou shalt not die. You're not going to die. And you're not going to hell. There's no hell. God is a good God, and he has released you. He's made you free and independent. Free and independent from the condemnation of the law, but they don't qualify that. President Kennedy didn't qualify it. He says, God has given us the right to be free and independent. No, we're not independent. We have to do what he says, or we have to do what Satan says. You got to make a choice between these two different avenues that you're going to travel. Will I be independent and just do whatever I want? And go to hell, or will I be free from the condemnation of the law and in the body of Christ to do his bidding? We're going to have to do his bidding or the religious people's bidding or the Antichrist bidding. The Antichrist is one body of people that are all going to hell. That's the same thing the Bible tells us, that it's the same thing as taking the mark of the beast, because we take that mark inside, and then later on, all those that are still alive on this earth, when they tell us to put a mark on our hand or forehead, the people that have sold their soul, that believe that they can be independent and free to sin, they'll take the mark. They're conning people through the media right now. They're saying, is somebody going to steal your identity? Very soon they're going to say, the way that people will never be able to steal your identity is we're going to put a mark, a little chip in your hand or forehead, and that way you'll be free and independent to buy and sell. But anyone that takes that mark, there's no forgiveness for that on this side of eternity, because they're believing the beast and the great whore. And the great whore, the beast, and Satan's mouth, the media. And it's just amazing that people cannot focus on the Lord and his word. And by not doing so, by thinking it's corny or that it's stupid, and that Satan is smart, and God is stupid, and the people that follow God are stupid. And so nobody really rose up that much, just a handful of people, when they went to Waco and murdered those people. Then they were the ones responsible for the federal building being blown up over in Oklahoma City, and also the World Trade Center. What Satan's job is, he wants to destroy and make desolate this earth. He wants to make it desolate, and the way he does that is to make people disbelieve the Bible, because it's so easy. Words are so easy to say. And, you know, the Lord never saved us for anything other than to bring about the kingdom of heaven on this earth. We are told that we are to, Christ is to live in us with the Father by the Spirit, and that the purpose is to bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth. This was the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There's no other way. To go to heaven is easy if you just keep the commandments of the Lord. The hard part is to preach the gospel, but it's still easy if you have the power of God in you, and bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth. Every time we're preaching the gospel, God said he'd pour out his Spirit upon all the earth. And he's doing that through we who preach the gospel. This is his Spirit. His word, Jesus said, God's word is Spirit, and it is life. And so when you're believing the word of God, you're walking in the Spirit. And you're no longer independent, because you're in one body, Christ. You have to be in one of the bodies or the other. You have to be in Adam or in Christ. And if you're in Adam, there's no possible way to get into heaven. We have to walk in the Spirit to the end, or we will not be saved. And so John F. Kennedy erred when he was saying, yeah, we're free and independent. We're free to serve the Lord, but we're not independent. We have to do his bidding. Otherwise, if we don't do what he says, then what it is that we're condemned, because obedience to the Lord is better than sacrifice.
Amen to that. And before we hit the break, I want to let them know that you mentioned a couple things, like the Antichrist, and of course we mentioned Mary earlier, and I just want to let the listeners know that I have a website, and in my website is toughissues.org. Issues is plural, ISSUES, toughissues.org. I think I've got about 40-some writings up there. At one time, 106, and they got hacked into, messed with, and then finally when I got them all back up, the lady that was running the website pulled them because I used a couple quotes by Seventh-day Adventists, but I'm not going to get into that. But I do have a fairly lengthy article that's called The Real Antichrist, and whether you're not Catholic or non-Catholic, I'd urge you to read that, The Real Antichrist, and we'll get into that more after the break. I've got one up there about the real Bible that shows very clearly that the King James Bible, and let's talk about that maybe first when we get back after the break, because it's so important that folks know the reason why they should use the 1611 Authorized King James Bible. And I also have an article about the real Mary. And Tony, I'm very concerned about Mary, because since I live in this heavily Roman Catholic area, anywhere you drive around here, just about everybody in their yard has these Mary statues, some of them very large, like almost like a bathtub-sized, the old-style bathtub, with Mary inside, and some covered with plastic, and of course they'll have flowers around them. So they basically have a shrine to Mary. So Mary is very important in Catholicism. She's been groomed. As a matter of fact, the Jesuit order has been one of the biggest pushers of Mary and this Marian movement, including the Marian apparitions. I believe that, Tony, these Marian apparitions, and I actually read a book, it was almost 2 inches thick, I think, that was written by Roman Catholics. My friends, before they came out of the Roman Catholic Church, had given me this book to read, and I sat down laboriously. It wasn't fun, pleasant reading, Tony, reading through this. And I made three columns. In the first column, I put these messages. agree with the Bible, I mean, disagree totally with the Bible. Number two, are totally neutral. And number three, agree with the Bible. And let me tell you, I don't have it in front of me, but about 97 to 98% of those messages from Mary were 100% contradictory to what the Bible teaches. And folks need to know that. I think it's a good chance, a great potential that this will be a mass means of deception, because these apparitions have exponentially increased all around the world. Some of these sites, like at Lourdes and that, or Guadalupe and that, they have millions of people going to these Mary shrines each year. And so I think I'd recommend that the listeners go up and read what I've written about the real Mary, because the Mary that Roman Catholicism presents is not the humble, blessed Mary that was the mother of the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very, very far from it. So, again, I'm not anti-individual Roman Catholic, but I do say now they do need to come out of that religious system, because God commands them to. Revelation 18:4, God says for his people to get out of the whore system. And let's just talk just a second about the Antichrist, because you know, Tony, that many people, oh, they thought Hitler was the Antichrist. Some people made Mussolini the nominee. And, of course, much later, Reagan even, trying to figure out who 666 would come out to be. And, of course, Gorbachev with the little red mark on his head. But, you know, the Bible very clearly lays out who the Antichrist is. And mentioning 666, I'm sure you know this, Tony, that one of the titles that the Pope claims is Vicar of the Son of God, Vicarius Filii Dei in the Latin. And when you take the, now Latin does have clear numerical values for its letters, and when you take out, you add up Vicarius Filii Dei that the Pope uses, it comes out to exactly 666. But again, many people try to say who the, predict who the Antichrist would be, and it is laid out very clearly in the Holy Bible who the Antichrist is. And let me give you the identifying characteristics, because some people say, well, Rio de Janeiro sits on seven hills, or Rome sits on seven hills, so they could be that. But if they'll read the book of Revelation, especially 13 through 18, and especially 17 and 14, it identifies who this religious whore is, this harlot. And number one, she's a mother, Revelation 17:5. Number two, she has harlot daughters, of course, the Protestant denominations, Revelation 17:5. She sits on seven mountains, okay, if some people claim Jerusalem does, but we'll cover some of the other ones here. We certainly know it's not Rio de Janeiro. Her colors are purple and scarlet, Revelation 17:4. Well, who has purple and scarlet? Those are the colors of cardinals and archbishops in the Roman Catholic Church. She is extremely wealthy with lots of gold, Revelation 17:4. Well, who has more gold than anybody in the world? The Roman Catholic Church. She is drunk with the blood of the saints, Revelation 17:6. The Inquisition alone, Tony, conservatively speaking, 50 million innocent Bible-believing Christians murdered by Rome during the official time frame of the Inquisition, and some folks say that's 1203 to 1808. She is a great city, Revelation 17:18. She has ruled over the kings of the earth. So we're narrowing this down. It can only be one person. Revelation 17:18 says that. The popes for over 1,000 years ruled all of Europe. They ruled over emperors, the Holy Roman Emperor, over kings in France and Spain and Portugal. For people to say it's Jerusalem and Israel, my goodness, they ruled over maybe the kings of Edom and Moab, very, very small kingdoms. But no one has ruled over the kings of the earth like Papal Rome did for over 1,000 years. She intoxicates all nations with her wine. That's Revelation 14:8. In other words, her doctrine. Many of God's people are still inside of her. Well, at Revelation 18:4. And the fact of the matter is that most people, once that, Tony, that they see what the Bible says and identifies, compares it with the Roman Catholic religion, they leave the church. And many ex-priests are out there, like Richard Bennett, who have left, ex-nuns like Sister Charlotte that gave her testimony, and a lot of my best friend and his wife were very devout Roman Catholics. They left both of them after over 50 years. He was a Eucharistic minister. It's hard for many Roman Catholics that live in a heavily Roman Catholic area that have come from large Roman Catholic families. It's hard for them to do it, but it can be done, Tony. And again, they need to get convicted. They need to read the Holy Bible. And I think that's the best book that we can recommend anyone to read. And like I said, when we get back after the break, we're going to talk about why it's so important to use the King James Bible. And my background, Tony, by the way, is I spent 20 years in military intelligence, 6 years with the National Security Agency, working as a linguist and analyst. And so I know how important translation techniques are. And so you said there's no problem with you hanging on with us through that second hour. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you might want to go take a look at some of the stuff I have up on my website, Tony, and we'll give your website again when we get back. And folks, you're listening to the Investigative Journal broadcast. My name again, Daryl Eberhardt, filling in for Greg Kosmansky, and our guest is Tony Alamo.